message, we'll be looking at a topic on Christian growth. And the title for this message is, Don't Settle, Normal Christians Grow. Don't Settle, Normal Christians Grow. Now, I want to be clear, I want to define the terms of when I talk about a Christian, if you are new visiting this morning, or if you don't have a Christian background, or if you've been a Christian for a time, I want to refresh your memory this morning on what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has repented from their sin. And when I talk about sin, sin is violating God's commands, God's moral law. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 20. Violating God's moral law in thought, word, and deed. And those laws that you see that Moses gave to the nation of Israel. Idolatry, you shall not have an idol before God, graven imagery, taking God's name in vain, breaking his Sabbath, dishonoring parents, murdering, adultery, not stealing, bearing false witness, coveting. That is what God defines as sin. And a Christian is someone who has seen that sin and come to a place of saying, Lord, I need to repent. And not only I need to repent, but I need to believe that there is a solution, that there is someone who can make me right before you, and that person is Jesus Christ. Someone who actually really understands the significance of how that sin has offended a holy God. It reminds me of a story of a man who worked as a bank manager, and that man was very, very cunning. Some people call him the fox of the town. The man one day stole a couple $1,000,000 from the bank. And in the town, pretty much everybody knew everybody else. The man decided to take the money, and he used it for a business that he was running. And he was so good at business, the money that he stole, he actually make a whole much more money on the money that he stole. So the man, because he had known who the people that used the bank were, decided to send checks back to everybody of which he stole the money from. And he actually sent them a check with interest on the money he stole from them. Well, there was an investigation, and the man was brought before the courtroom, and the judge was there. And the interesting thing is everybody in the town whose money was stolen was in the courtroom of the man. So the man came into the courtroom very excited because he said, I have paid everybody back with interest from the money I stole from them. So what could they tell me? So in the courtroom, the judge is going through the case, and the judge said, so you stole this money. Yes, I did. But judge, I paid everybody back, and everybody here knows it, with interest, so the charges should be dropped. It was at this point in the courtroom, a lady stood up and said, sir, the money that you stole from me, at that moment, my son was going through a very significant surgery, and I could not pay the doctors to get that surgery. Yes, you send me the money back with interest, but I don't have a son. It was at that point a man realized that what his sin was not just a criminal offense before the courtroom, but there was a significant moral problem that he was facing in that courtroom. And it was at that point a man started to really understand the significance of his offense, the significance of his sin before that person and before the courtroom. You see, when we talk about sin before God, it's not just on the surface level. When God looks at our sin, he sees the moral aspect of our sin before him. And a Christian is someone who sees that and says, Lord, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against you morally. And for that, the only person that can come and rescue me from this predicament, from rescuing me from this danger, is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, as we look at this topic on normal Christians growing, I want to go through what a Christian will look like, and a Christian will look like by asking you a few questions. And in our society, in our culture, we have come to a place where we don't expect that Christians grow. Why? Because our culture has accepted the standard of the bare minimum. Just get by. Just the basics. I just want to do this much on my job to get through the day. And sadly, that mindset has crept into the Christian church almost like a false teaching, where when it comes to the Christian life, a lot of people don't move past the stage of being a babe. For those of you, and we see some of these, we see this in the culture by some of the expressions that people say, some of the words that you hear in the job or in different situations. And I want to give you a few this morning. If you work as a plumber or you work as an electrician in some of the trades, you may hear people say something like this: good enough for concrete. Now, what do they mean? Or good enough for cement. You know, if you're pouring cement and you're pouring a slab or you're doing work in concrete, and I've seen my dad do a lot of work in concrete, they'll say, it's off by a quarter inch. We can live with that. It's good enough. We can keep moving. The sun is hot. We're not going to be squabbling over the way the concrete is setting. For those of you who have gone to college or may be in college, and for parents, I want you to tune in on this one. This is what a lot of college people say in one shape or the other: C's equals degrees. C's equals degrees. And what do they mean by that? Well, I just want to come to class, show up, do the bare minimum, get a C, and be done with it. I'm just trying to graduate. I'm just trying to move on. I'm just trying to do the bare basics. Parents, if you're paying the bill, you have to be tuning in on that one. For people who have grown up in the church, and you hear a lot of kids, young adults, if you talk to them, if their parents have been in the church for a while, and you go and say, so what's your testimony? When did you become a Christian? When did God do a work in your heart and your life to show that now you're a child of God? And they may say something like this: well, my parents know about Christianity, so, you know, I'm a Christian because, you know, my parents were in the church and they were very involved, and therefore I'm a Christian. Settling for the bare minimum of what their parents did. Or if you may be out sharing the gospel, or if you have been out and you've talked to someone about Christianity, you may hear them telling you something like this: well, I don't really go to church because I have my own thing of God, and, you know, I kind of worship him on the days that I would like and read the Bible on the days that is convenient, but I'm a Christian, you know. Settling for the bare minimum, settling for their own conception, their own mindset of what Christianity is. And the question is, are those people normal? Are they growing, or are they something that is not even close to Christianity? So this morning, as we look into this question of normal Christians growing, we will be looking at a few questions. And the first one we'll be looking at is this. As you see in your notes, the question number one: do Christians grow because of time? Do Christians grow because of time? In Hebrews 5:12, the writer is communicating to the believers, many of them who had fled Jerusalem and were struggling with this aspect of growth. And the writer is going into an aspect of time here. Let's look at it. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So the author is going at an aspect here of time. Many of these believers had known of the breakout of the church that happened about 25 years earlier. So these were older believers, and some of them were even second-generation believers, but they had a lot of time. And as we'll be looking at, we'll be continuing in the phrase, we'll be seeing that they were not really teaching. They were not really passing on the information that they had about Christianity. For someone who have been a Christian a long time, or maybe not, you've not been a Christian a long time, If the writer of Hebrews is asking you this question this morning, how would you respond? How would you respond to it? This morning, I want to ask you a few diagnostic questions. And if you've gone to the doctor and the doctors ask you some diagnostic questions, such as, so what are your eating habits like? Do you eat ice cream? Do you have a lot of soda? Sometimes those questions could get to places that we don't want to reveal. And this morning, I want to ask you some questions to see for you, as a Christian, how much do you really know? The first question I want to ask you this morning is, do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you know that the Bible is the infallible Word of God? Do you know that that God the Father is the maker of heaven and earth? Do you know that God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus is coming back again to rapture His church? Do you know that God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead? Do you know that God is holy, but He's also gracious, kind, and merciful? Do you know that the only reason that we exist today in this life is to glorify God? For the men, do you know that you are called to give spiritual leadership in your home? For the women, do you know that you're called to come alongside your husband in the task that God has called him to do on this earth? For the children, many of them are with us here in the month of August, do you know that you're called to honor your parents and to obey and to listen to the instruction that they give you? If you know these things, how long have you known them for? Have you known them for 3 days, 1 year, 10 years, 25 years? And if you know all these things, if the writers of Hebrews talking to you this morning, are you growing with that information? Are you growing with the information that the writer is telling you this morning? The writer keyed in on this phrase of by this time because the believers had a lot of information to work from. The Hebrew believers had a lot of information. And this morning, by asking you some of those questions, I bet a lot of us and people here today know some of these things. The question is, are you growing? Where are you in the scale of growing in Christianity this morning? Are you still seeing yourself as a baby Christian? Are you still seeing yourself as somebody who has no clue in what the Scripture is teaching? But you might be surprised. You know a lot. The question is, are you going to act on the information that you already know? And the writer goes on to say, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers. And that word there, ought, in the Greek means, it means ophelio. And the word is trying to convey that the believers had a moral obligation to pass on, to teach the information that they knew about Christ in light of the time that they had the information about the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of the Hebrew believers. You ought to be teachers. It's like a soldier or a police officer. A police officer and a soldier has the moral obligation to protect those who are in harm's way. Whether they are on duty or not, if a police officer sees something that's going on in a community, somebody's house is being robbed, and they know about it, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, they have a moral obligation to go to that area and bring in a justice to try to apprehend the criminal. The believers had a moral obligation to let people know that Jesus Christ was the one that the Scripture was teaching about. That Jesus Christ is the holy and the holy prophet that came down through the Scriptures. What were they searching for? What were they operating on in all of the time that they had the information? In John 5:39, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." The believers were aware of the Scriptures. They were aware of the Old Testament law. They were aware of so many of the prophecies that had come before. And it was a long time. Many of them had grown up around Christianity. Many of them had grown up in a system of the Judaic system. But they were not growing. They were not using that information to pass it on to other non-believers, other Gentiles, probably their own children. They were not exercising that moral obligation. In Deuteronomy, it says the one that would come, the prophet that would come in the person of Jesus Christ. It says in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 17, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the days of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see the great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good." He goes on in verse 18, "I will raise up a prophet like you from among the brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded. I command him." This prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The believers had known this information. They had known that the prophet, the one that would come from the Old Testament scriptures, was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus was the one, the new Moses, the one that would be a representative between not only the nation of Israel, but all of the Gentiles, any man, woman, and child who would put their faith and trust in him. They had good information to operate on. They had good information to grow from. But they were remaining in a state of infancy. They were not seizing the moral obligation to pass this information on, to pass, and it's just not irrelevant information, it's life-saving truths that could impact their lives. They knew of the prophecies of Isaiah. When Isaiah prophesied to the nation of Israel over 700 years before Jesus had come in the fullness of time. They knew that Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." They knew this information. We know this information. And it's a lot longer now since they have got that information. The question is, are we growing on this information? Are we growing on the truths that we already know? You see, there are a lot of people that think to grow in Christianity, we have to get some mystical, some obscure information from the scriptures. God's word, there's a principle that scripture is clear. God's word is clear from Genesis to Revelation, and the clarity that God has given us in that Jesus is God. God's infallible word is in the Bible. God has created marriage between man and a woman. God has called men to lead in the home. God has called us to be his ambassadors, letting people know that he has come into the world perfect as a man to die for the sin of the world. We have a lot of information that we that we can work from, and it's our moral obligation today to operate on that information and not remain and not keep it for ourselves like the believers at that time. Now, why were some of these believers not growing? Why were some of these believers remaining in a state of spiritual infancy? One possibility that we see is maybe the believers were remembering the event with Stephen back 25 years earlier with Stephen in the book of Acts. As you know, Stephen was one who was preaching clearly that Jesus was the promised one of the scriptures. Stephen was one who confronted the religious leaders at that time to tell them that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one that you should be searching for. And many of them resisted that truth. Many of them were very angry at Stephen. In Acts 7:51, he told them clearly, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always," that's a sad state, right? "You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." All the information before them. This morning for you, all of the information is before you. And if you're here, you're not a Christian, My appeal to you is on the information that you know already about Christianity, you need to act on it. You need to act on it because today is the day of redemption. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of saying, Lord, I need to repent. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And it's not just an innocent sin. It's a moral sin against a righteous God. And if you don't come to that place of repentance, a place of saying, God, I need you saving me. I need to believe in you. And that's why John wrote, these things have I written so that you may believe. God wants you to believe on the information that you know, but you have to believe by repenting and trusting only in Jesus Christ. So will you remain like the people there in the book of Acts, the religious leaders, resisting the Holy Spirit as he's coming and he's showing sin. He's coming to your conscience and he's saying, you have sinned. You have violated the laws of God. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. Operate on the information that you have today and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Stephen telling that to the religious leaders, they were not too thrilled with that. This is what happened to him next. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and they started to stone him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, and we know Saul became Paul later. The people, the believers at that time, had known of this story of what happened to Stephen 25 years earlier, and many of them were not even in Jerusalem at this point. And maybe they were seeing the signs of the times, and this was about 30 years later, they were seeing that persecution was coming. So the question is, will I act on the information I know and risk persecution? And be like Stephen? So they were counting the cost, and Scripture tells us to count the cost, but they were making an incorrect wager on the cost of growth as Christians. So they were compromising. They were not operating on the truth that they knew. And this leads us to the answer to our first question this morning. Do Christians grow just because of time? No. The clock can tick, the days can come, the sun can go up and down. Time by itself is not going to grow you as a Christian. Time by itself, saying I've been a Christian for 30 years and 10 years, that doesn't mean that you're growing. Or even worse, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Christian. Seek the Lord today, and he is the one that can put you in a place of growth. And that leads us to our second question. Do Christians grow because of knowledge? Do Christians grow because of knowledge? In Hebrews 5:13, it says, for everyone who partakes who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Everyone who partakes in milk is unskilled in righteousness. Christians don't just grow because of knowledge. There is a lot of knowledge out there, and you see it doesn't equal to Christians applying that knowledge in the right way. And that reminds me of a story with a pastor and a soap manufacturer. Both he and the pastor were walking in the afternoon one day, and they were having a conversation, and the soap manufacturer was just a pessimist. And he told the pastor, look at society. Everything seems to be going to the dumps. You know, there are more criminals, more murderers, more this and that. The children are not obeying their parents. This society is literally going to hell in a handbasket. And you as a pastor, you've been preaching this word, you've been preaching this message that should change society, that should change people, and it seems to have no effect. The pastor was humble and he didn't react, and he kept listening to the soap manufacturer. And as they kept walking, they saw a child that was just dirty in the mud, and there was dust all over the child. And the pastor looked at the soap manufacturer and said, it seems there's a lot of dirty people in the world too. is your soap working? The soap manufacturer, God defenses, no, 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 no. You see, with the soap, you have to apply it to your life for it to work. The pastor said, same with the gospel. You have to apply it. You have to apply the knowledge that God has given you for you to grow. You have to apply the knowledge of repentance. You have to apply when God is coming and he's saying, you've broken his law. You've broken his law. Don't see that as God just condemning you. God, you know, you've already been condemned. God does not want to condemn you to hell. But if you are staying in that place of unbelief, of not applying the soap, of not applying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to your life by faith, you'll be like the other people in the world. See, God's truths only work when we apply to our life. And one practical way that we can, as for Christians now, we can apply God's truths to our lives is by reading the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 9, verse 19, verse 11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. The Proverbs is practical wisdom that as a Christian, on a daily basis, we can apply God's principles to our life so that we can grow and we can exercise that spiritual muscle that we need to be the person that God has called us to be. We have to apply that knowledge. We have to apply the truths and not remain in our own ways of dealing with issues like anger. You know, for parents and with the kids in here today, have you gotten angry with your kids? If you have, are you resolving that anger in your own flesh? Or are you resolving it with the practical tidbits that's in Proverbs? And the Proverbs are filled with many other applications for wisdom and wise living on a daily basis. So I encourage you, if you don't read the book of Proverbs, you don't know how to break into it, just select a day and say, today, you know, whatever day is on the calendar, I'm going to read that proverb. And the next day, I'll see what day is on the calendar, I'm going to read that proverb. And as you read it, you're asking God through the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom to apply it to your life, to give you the wisdom to apply that information to your life. You see, a lot of people, or it's hard for them to apply the knowledge and the information that they have. It's very hard. And it's like these people who lived in a town that had never seen a dust storm. The emergency personnel were going door to door, telling them a dust storm is coming. A dust storm is coming. Well, I have never seen a dust. Get out of me. You're trying to sell me something. Get out of my house. A dust storm is coming. Here's a mask that you should put on your face that when the dust comes, go inside in a safe place and apply the information. Everybody in the town got the same level of information, but only a few as the dust cloud came and was enveloping the town, applied the information. And as a result, a lot of people got sick. A lot of people, some died. But a few came out and said, wow, now I know what a dust storm is, and now I know the life-saving tools that was given to me, and I'm so thankful that that person came to me and gave me that information. Don't be filled with pride when God has given you information to operate on. God is not willing that any man should perish, but that we should come to repentance, that we should come to a place of believing in him. So do Christians grow because of knowledge? No. Christians grow, and that's your fill in there for question number two, by applying God's principles in everyday situations. Christians grow by applying God's principles in everyday situations. And I want to give you a few principles that you can walk away with. And these are not all of the principles that's found in Scripture, but these are some big ones. And the key to these principles is you need to have the Holy Spirit operating in your life on a daily basis to fulfill them. The first principle that you see in your notes is the principle of obedience. Jeremiah 35, verse 5 through 9, Jeremiah came and he tested the tribe of Rahab. And he tested them and he told them, drink wine. And this is what they said. We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rahab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. And Jonadab was one of their forefathers. And they listened to the counsel of their father and didn't drink the wine. And the tribe of the Rechabites were an illustration to the nation of Israel because they were not obeying the word of their heavenly father, God. We as Christians, for us to grow, for us to apply God's truths in our lives on a daily basis, need the Holy Spirit working in us where we can be obedient. And I hope the children of Rahab could be an example for us today. The second principle I want to bring to your attention is the principle of loving sacrifice. And we see that in John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And this morning, Church of the Rock, this is one principle I want to really encourage you on. I've seen many of you apply this principle in so many different ways from just what I've seen. I've seen many of you make meals for moms who who just had young babies, lovingly and sacrificially. I've seen many of you with sick relatives stay up at odd hours of the night and doing so many things for them that somebody might look at that and say, wow, why are you doing that? That's a lot of work. And you're doing it because you're applying God's principle of loving sacrifice in your life. And by doing that, you are showing the world, the watching world, that you are growing as a child of God, that you are growing as someone who is identified with Jesus Christ. And there, you are using that as an opportunity, as a moral opportunity, to share the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I've seen many of you offered rides to other people in the church as we have events and they need to move around, and you do that lovingly and sacrificially. I want to encourage you this morning to continue doing that. Do not grow weary in well-doing, but continue to implement this principle of loving sacrifice in your life. The last principle I want to bring to your attention is the principle of prayer. The principle of prayer. In Matthew 6, Jesus telling us to go in our secret closet place to seek him and to pray and to have a communication with him, our Heavenly Father. And that's one reason for men. We have the men's prayer hour once every month, the first Friday in the month, to go and to pray and to seek God and to seek his will for our life, his perfect will that is in heaven. We want that perfect will to be accomplished on earth. Prayer as a Christian aligns your thoughts, your desires to God's. And there's no greater place we want to be aligned than to God. Every day we should be calling out to God in prayer. We should be resetting our clocks in prayer, asking God that this day we want to be seeking you. We want to be following you and following your direction in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there are a lot of other people that pray. There are a lot of other people that are obedient to different laws. But this is only possible if you are a Christian, if you are someone who has surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And as you're doing that, you will be implementing what the writer continued to say here in verse 14 in Hebrews. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As a Christian, you are exercising those muscles. You, as an athlete, working out. As you go through the day, as a normal Christian, you are growing as you're implementing God's principles in your life, praying, being obedient to Him, serving others, and operating on the information that you already know. And as you're doing that, you are being a light. You are being an example to the world of what a Christian is. And those create opportunities to be able to share with them how God has worked in your life in such a way that you are acting in a radical, different way from the way from the world system. I pray that to you this morning. I pray if you are not a normal Christian this morning, today could be the day where you can come on board, where you can come on board, you can operate on the information that you already know, and there is a lot that you already know. It's not a lack of information. It's not a lack of revelation from God. The question is, will you apply it this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have called us out from darkness. You have called us to life in you. We thank you that you want us to grow into maturity. You want us to grow as a Christian, not to remain as an infant. But you've called us to exercise the information that we already have, Lord, that we can grow in your truths, that we can grow in your grace. Lord, we praise you this morning, and we pray that this week we would be implementing those principles in our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.